Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you, Father. So we pray that even this morning, Lord, even as you've blessed us through the worship, through our fellowship, through prayer, Lord, I pray that as we open your word, your Holy Spirit would bring life to us, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. This morning, I just want to speak about a simple subject, but an important one. It's called peace. Peace. Peace is one of the most essential ingredients we need to have if we want to have a fruitful life. You know, I noticed something. Out of the 21 epistles that are written in the New Testament, only 4 of them do not come with the introduction of grace and peace. Grace and peace. If you notice it, over and over and over again, the epistles begin with, I'll give you an example, Galatians 1:3. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting. I mean, love's very important, but he never starts off grace and love to you. He always says grace and peace to you. Because if we don't have peace, we can't hear anything else. You ever try to talk to somebody who's in turmoil? And they're in turmoil, no matter what you try to say, no matter how you try to encourage them, nothing makes sense because there's turmoil. So Paul starts off with grace and peace to you. In fact, it's interesting, the last book of the Bible, book of Revelation, a book filled with what is going to happen in end times, and it talks about the judgments, the turmoil, the different things that are happening. But it begins with grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who's to come. Grace and peace to you. He begins the book of Revelation. Jesus says, grace and peace to you. In fact, if you study the book of Revelation, you'll notice that there's 7 times that the word blessed is used. We think of the book of Revelation as some kind of scary book, but it's a book of blessing. For those who are willing to hear, it speaks about God's salvation. And for those who are not willing to hear, it brings a conclusion on God's judgment. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's interesting, Prince of Peace. See, peace is not the absence of conflict, because peace is a person. Peace is a person, the Prince of Peace. Now, it's interesting, we think, well, why would it be called the Prince of Peace? See, in English, our idea of prince is someone like, you have a king and then you have prince. But that's not what it means in Hebrew. The word prince means one who prevails. In fact, Israel means prince with God, prevailing with God. Isn't that wonderful? So Jesus prevails with peace. He's the Prince of Peace. We get our English, we talk about principalities, one who rules an area. Prince of Peace, one who rules peace. One is a source of peace. Since peace is a person, peace is not dependent on circumstances. If your peace is dependent on circumstances, that means you're still lacking a revelation of some aspects of Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Says in Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Jesus, he is our peace. Isn't that wonderful? And he's made both one. He's broken down the wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. He's brought forth one in peace. The Prince of Peace. He is our peace. In fact, you know something that will weaken your peace? Something that will weaken your peace is where you seek other sources of peace. Isn't that interesting? That is actually an enemy of true peace, is when we seek peace from other sources. What I mean by that is, let's say you're trying to seek peace in finances and security, financial security. Well, you will, but every time there's an economic hiccup, your peace is gone. Let's say you try to find peace in relationships. And so everything you're depending, you know, that's called codependency. We're seeking others to give us peace. We will actually lose peace. We will lack peace. Not that we shouldn't have good relationships. See, if we look to anything else for our source of peace, it means we're no longer leaning on Jesus for our peace, but we're leaning on something else, and whatever it is, we'll be shaken. There's one thing we can be sure about life, that nothing is sure. Nothing is sure, but Jesus is sure. That's why he's the Prince of Peace. Not that we should not have security in this world, but that should not be the thing that gives us peace. If it does, you will not have peace. You will not have peace when you hear about political instability. You will not have peace when you have a bad medical report. You will not have peace when difficult things happen in your life. But if you know Jesus as the Prince of Peace, then your peace is not dependent on circumstances, but it depended on him. John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So people ask, what's the definition of eternal life? Well, living forever and ever and ever. That's not the definition of eternal life. Do you know everyone who's been born, is created, is eternal? The soul is eternal. In fact, it even says the resurrection of the godly and the ungodly. So it's not just existing forever and ever and ever. Existing forever and ever and ever, everybody will experience that, but not everybody has eternal life. Because see, hell lasts forever and ever and ever. But what is eternal life? To know him, to believe in Jesus. That's eternal life, to know him. So a lot of times when we feel unfulfilled in life, when we feel lack of peace, it's not because of other people. It's not because of circumstances. It means we just need to get to know him more. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, that's the Lord, is everlasting strength. I'm going to read that again. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. I'll read that again in another translation, the Good Word, God's Word translation. With perfect peace, you will protect those whose minds cannot be changed because they trust you. Trust the Lord always, because the Lord alone, is an everlasting rock. When it says in Isaiah 26, you shall keep him in perfect peace, the Hebrew literally means this: you shall keep him in peace, peace. It's the word peace spoken twice. You shall keep him in shalom, shalom. When in the Hebrew it uses a repetition like that, it means an overflow. An overflow, an overabundance. Too much peace. So much peace. An overflow of peace. Shalom, shalom. It doesn't mean we're stuttering. It means we can't explain it all. It's too much. The word shalom, the word peace in Hebrew, is much more than the absence of conflict. It has the meaning of completeness, prosperity, success, a state of health, deliverance, salvation, welfare, and I'd like to add the word comfort. So when someone says, he shall keep you in shalom, shalom, it doesn't mean that you'll stop fighting with your neighbor. It means much more than that. It means there's a wholeness that comes into your soul. It means there is a satisfaction in your hearts. There is a completeness independent of what we face and what things going around us. It's a fulfillment of God's will in our lives. It's that shalom, that satisfaction. When I am at peace with myself, in my heart with God, I'm at peace with everyone else. And when I'm not at peace in my heart, no matter what people try to do, I will be in conflict with them. You know, when someone says, that person drives me crazy, he says, no, you're doing the driving, they're just helping. But when we have that peace, when we knew Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace, nothing will move us, nothing will shake us, nothing will defile our hearts. But when we're lacking peace, we just come to Him, and we need to know Him more as the Prince of Peace, to bring that wholeness within our hearts, to bring that satisfaction, to bring that completeness. See, when we're looking for other sources of peace, we're always trying to keep everything together. But that's not life. Some days things go well, and some days things don't go well. But Jesus says, I am the Prince of Peace. The way we have peace, it says, whose mind is stayed on you. Whose mind is fixed on you because he trusts in you. So the way we have peace is by trusting God. And the way we trust God is by learning to walk with God through all the experiences of our lives. So people say, well, I don't have peace. Well, yeah, we can sometimes lack peace. So what do we do when we're in a circumstance we have no peace? We invite Jesus into our circumstance. We invite Jesus into the experience we're having and saying, Lord, walk with me through this. And as we walk with him through the difficulties and through the turmoils and through the heartbreaks, and we begin to see that he's faithful, independent of circumstances, we're trusting him. And as we're trusting him, then his peace begins to fill our hearts more and more and more. Turmoil is one of the fertilizers for peace. Turmoil is one of the fertilizers for peace. Because when everything's going well, we don't really know, do we have the peace of Jesus or not. Even carnal Christians, even people who are not godly, can have a sense of tranquility when everything goes their way. But when we have turmoil, it's an opportunity for us to recognize that we need to invite the Prince of Peace in a deeper way into our hearts and lives. It's actually the opportunity for us to grow in peace. As we go and experience turmoil, we can come to God and say, God, right now I'm experiencing turmoil, so I'm inviting you into my situation. I'm inviting you to walk with me through this experience. And as we do, we grow in our trust with him. And as we do, we get to know him more as a Prince of Peace. But if we don't, that turmoil will cause greater turmoil. The only time you really get to know someone is when you walk with them through difficult times. That's when you get to really know them. And when we let Jesus walk with us through difficult times, we go, you are faithful. You are good. That you never leave us. You never forsake us. Peace, of course, is knowing that our sins are forgiven. But peace is much more than that, too. Peace is knowing that God has a purpose for our lives. Isn't that nice? Isn't that wonderful? God has a purpose for our lives. One of the greatest prayers that we can pray in times of turmoil, in times of uncertainty, in times of difficulty, not my will be done, but yours. It's like, God, I just release this in your hands. As I've learned over my many years walking with the Lord, I don't know what's best for me. Sometimes I think that's, if that would work out, that would be the best for me. But not always. And if that happens, that's not necessarily. God has his way of guiding us. Are we allowing him, are we going to let go of the steering wheel and say, not my will be done, but your will be done? In other words, I trust you, Father. I trust your wisdom. I trust your love. I trust your faithfulness. And I'm going to let you direct my life. And that journey, some parts are sweeter, sometimes are more painful. But through it all, we get to know the sweetness of Jesus. I love the book of Job. I wrote a book on the book of Job. In fact, I wrote more about Job than Job wrote about Job. It took me about 4 months to write and to go through the book of Job. And, of course, there's many, many, many things we could write about the book of Job, but I just had one question. Why did the righteous suffer? Not why is there suffering in the world, or why do innocent people suffer, or why this or that. There's many, many questions that we can learn from the book of Job. But the one question is, why do the righteous suffer? But as I studied the book of Job, I understood that in the midst of that, God was always with Job. He was always with Job. And when Job came through it, he had a revelation of God like he never had before. In fact, I may say that at the time that Job had that revelation, maybe nobody on the earth had that type of revelation. And you know why? Because Job loved God and he wanted to know God more. And I love the last chapter of Job, chapter 42. Job makes this statement. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You know, in difficult times, when I feel upheaval in my own heart, I love that verse. That verse is peace. You know what that verse says? I know you can do everything. God's not limited. And that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Another translation, that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Isn't that wonderful? No purpose. So we can come to God and we pray, not my will be done, but your will be done. We can pray with confidence that God can do everything and no one can thwart God's purposes. Does that not bring peace to you? You know, sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes people try to do things to mix up things. Sometimes the enemy comes. Sometimes we get mixed up in our own minds. But isn't it wonderful we can go to God and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you that you're faithful. I'm going to surrender it all to you. And I'm going to believe that you're going to take every circumstance in my life and you're going to bring forth your purposes. Isn't that wonderful? And that's why we have the Bible, so we know our part, and we also know God's part. Sometimes we get that part mixed up, you know what I mean? Every time, and God did this, we would think, I did this. No, God did this. But so we have, make sure we know what God's part is, and make sure we know what our part is. You know, God's part is really, really, really big, and our part is really, really small, but it's an important part. Our part is the surrender, and obey, and to trust, and his part is do everything else. Some people say, well, God wants to do it, let him do it. Well, you're not doing your part. Our part is to say, God, I trust you. I trust you that even in my weaknesses, you're faithful. Even in my failures, you're strong. And when I come to you and I confess my weaknesses, not only do you forgive me, but you weave them together to bring forth your glory, because you can do everything. You can take even my weaknesses, my failures, and when I confess them, you not only forgive me, but you cleanse me, and then you use them to redeem the situation. It's like what Rosemary said. The Bible was written by some of the big criminals. Apostle Paul trying to murder Christians and incarcerate and destroy the church. And God chose him. And one of the reasons God chose him, you know what Paul said? As an example, what he can do in any of our lives. Basically, Paul said, if he can use a schmo like me, he can use anybody. Doesn't matter. You know why? Because he says, now I know you can do everything. You can take even my failures and you can bring forth glory when I surrender to you, when I repent. I know you can do this. You can do all things. And not only that, but your plans can't be thwarted. No one can stop the will of God being fulfilled in your life. Not the devil, not the world, not other people, as long as you're willing to surrender, because his plans cannot be thwarted. And I love verse 5 of Job 42. I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Oh Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes to see the Prince of Peace in a more wonderful, clear way. James 3:8. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. If we want to bring a good crop of righteousness, we need to learn to sow a crop in peace. If we do things in self-effort, in striving, it doesn't bring a good crop. It doesn't bring a good crop. I've seen people who get frustrated because they're trying to do something for God, but in their own strength. You ever seen that? I've seen even people where they preach sometimes, come on, pray more! Wow, that really encourages people. See, they're trying to sow something to bring righteousness, but they're doing it in self-effort. But the thing is, we sow in peace. We share the gospel in peace. And it brings forth his righteousness. And so us to sow in peace is to have peace. Remember when I was a young Christian, I used to try to witness to people, and you end up getting in arguments. That's really effective. If they weren't sure they wanted to be a Christian before, they're sure after they talk to you. Yeah, whatever you have, I don't need it. I already got my problems. It says in Ephesians 6:15, and of having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's the gospel of peace. It doesn't say the gospel of love, even though it's about love, even though God is love. It's the gospel of peace. And it talks about our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, why wouldn't be the gospel of peace as a shield, or as a helmet, or as a sword, or a breastplate? But it's having our shod feet, having our shoes of the gospel of peace. I almost didn't get that right. So anyways, but you know something, I have peace. And so, it's because it's our walk. It's our walk that really shares the gospel. It's not how good an argument we have. It doesn't mean all the intellectual experiences we can explain this and that. Those are all good. But if our walk does not represent the gospel of peace, our testimony is weak. I was reading a testimony of an actress. She's passed away now. But during the 1950s and 60s and 70s, and even part of the 80s, she was a well-known British actress. And she was a beauty queen, and she was very successful. And one time, Angela Brown. And so one time she went, it was about, I think it was 1988. She'd be about 50 years old at the time. She went to one of these dinners where they had awards or something like that, you know, other actors and actresses and stuff. And she was sitting at a table where there's another famous actress who she knew. But she knew her not really, really well, but she knew her well enough that she was kind of an intimidating lady, a very self-absorbed person, you know, kind of very, not somebody you feel really comfortable with. So she sat at her table. But when she did, Angela noticed there's something different now. All of a sudden, there was a gentleness there that she had never known before. There was a peace there she had never known before. All of a sudden, instead of trying to dominate the conversation, she was not only willing to listen, she was wanting to listen. There was a real concern and a care that she was listening to other people speak. And so through the evening, she goes, wow, what has taken place in this woman? So she asked her, I notice you're different. I said, what's happened? He goes, I met Jesus. So they were talking, and the evening was coming to an end. So this lady gave her phone number and said, listen, if you want to, I'd love to speak with you, and gave Angela her number. Anyways, things got busy, and a number of months went by, and anyways, about 6 or 8 months later, Angela's at home again, and she's got everything in the world. She's been married happily. She's got 3 lovely children. She's got a career, a very successful career. But she has no peace. She has no peace. And in this turmoil, what do I do? What do I do? I've got no peace. And then she remembers that phone number. She thought, well, I can't phone her. She'll think I'm crazy. Out of the 9 months later, just phone her out of the blue. So she doesn't know what to do, and she's in turmoil, so she thought, I'm just trying to get my mind off of this. So she grabbed just a magazine, started just flipping through one of these magazines, and she's flipping through one of the magazines, and she sees that actress's face again. Okay, gal phone her. So she phones her up. The lady invites her over, and she receives Christ. She receives Christ. And from that time on, her life changed, and she had peace. She passed away in 2001 after 38 years of marriage. And she dedicated her life to serving God, even as an actress. But with wholesomeness, without shame. But what was the thing that drew her to that other actress? Peace. The gospel of peace. When there's turmoil and we have true peace, people say, what's different about you? Why aren't you in turmoil too? Why are you at peace in the midst of difficult circumstances? And it's because we can share, we know the Prince of Peace. In Romans 10:15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are the feet. It's the idea of just having a walk with God that people say, wow, you have a wonderful life. Not because of material success, not because of this or that. They look at you and say, you have peace. You have a wonderful life. How beautiful are the feet of those who come to preach the gospel. The gospel of peace. You know, when we have the gospel of peace, you know what it does sometimes? Stirs people up. You know the song Amazing Grace? There's two verses or two lines. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. The first aspect of grace when you're not a Christian is where God allows turmoil to be manifest in your life so you know you need a Savior. And the second aspect of grace is where our fears are relieved and he fills us peace. It says in Ephesians 2:17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. The message of peace is for everyone. The message of peace is for everyone. Jew, Gentile, wherever your situation is, it's for everyone. Colossians 1:20. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Peace is reconciliation. That we can have peace in our hearts with everyone. Through the blood of Jesus. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I give to you. But the peace that is different from the world's peace. The world's peace is, well, we're going to make things better. We're going to give you financial stability. We're going to enact laws. We're going to do this and that and all those things. That's the world's peace. But that's not a peace that is a real peace. In fact, when people prosper more, they have less peace. Do you realize that? Because they have more worries. They own more. There's more problems. There's more this and that. So this world's success does not give peace. But I give peace, not as the world gives. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled, and don't be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, and don't be afraid. No matter what we face, we can say, God, I can trust you. No matter what we face, we can say, God, I trust you. In John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This world will have tribulation. If you're looking, you know, it's sort of like they pass a good Christian law, something that's pro-Christian. Yay! The next week they pass one that's anti-boo. You know what I mean? And you will become up and down, up and down. I have decided something, that I do not have enough peace to read the news every day. It is craziness. I go, this is the world. And I said, I feel so bad for people who are looking to the world for the sense of peace. Because things are becoming more chaotic by the day. But that's what the Bible says it will be. But he says, be of good cheer. I've spoken these words that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good courage, I've overcome the world. Isn't that wonderful? But if you do not grow in knowing Jesus as the Prince of Peace, you will find the turmoil that will be coming in this world will cause you to be filled with fear. It will cause us to be filled with fear. Because this world is filled with tribulation and difficulties. And not just for Christians, for everyone. It's getting worse. But he says, be of good cheer. I have given you my peace. He's given us his peace. He's given us his son, Jesus. But we need to now get to know him as a Prince of Peace. We need to grasp that. Another verse that I love in the scriptures. To live as Christ and to die as gain. I love that scripture. No matter what we face, life or death, good times or difficult times, to live as Christ and to die as gain. Let that one verse become fully a reality in my heart. That's my prayer. So when we're facing difficulties, I just stop sometimes. And I spend time thinking, to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, God, this is your life. Do with my life as you would want for your glory. And the worst could happen, I'll be in heaven. That's the downside? Doesn't sound like a downside to me. But if you don't know God is a Prince of Peace and your security is in this world, then when things get shaken, even as Christians, we'll have turmoil. We'll get upset. We're being cheated. What about this and what about that? But Jesus says, I give you my peace. It says, Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that wonderful? Wow. When we feel overloaded, you know what it means? We're carrying the wrong burden. That's what it means. Oh, life is so difficult. And when I think that, I go, wait a second. Maybe I've got the wrong burden on. Maybe I've got the wrong burden on. So how do we take that? We say, God, not my will be done, but your will be done. I'm going to give you my burdens. But it doesn't mean we have no responsibility. He gives us a yoke. But you know what that yoke is? A yoke of simply believing and obeying. It's very simple. He does the big things. The outcome and the results are his. Ours is just to trust and believe and to obey. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. That's the situation that the world is facing. Peace and safety. Peace and safety. But their idea of peace is an absence of conflict. So when somebody says we now have a peace treaty, that means we have decided not to kill each other. But Jesus' peace is so much more. It's completeness. It's fulfillment. It's safety. It's contentment. It's salvation. It's rest. You know, when Jesus appeared to his disciples, what was the first thing he said to them after the resurrection when he appeared to his disciples? Luke 24:36. And as they said these things, Jesus stood in the midst and he said to them, peace to you. Right? He could have said a lot of things. He says, I love you guys. And it would have been totally true. He's saying, look, I'm resurrected. I've overcome. And that was totally true. But the very first thing he says is, peace to you. Before they could hear anything else, they needed to receive the words of peace. Before we can receive anything else, we need to say, peace. Receive his peace. Receive his peace for our marriages. Receive peace for our families. Receive peace for our workplace. Receive peace for every area of our lives. But what do we need, first of all? We need peace within our hearts. We need peace within our hearts. It's amazing when I have peace in my heart, nothing bothers me. And when I don't have peace in my heart, everything bothers me. Even things that should not bother me, bother me. You ever had it when you have no peace? You get irritated about other people's problems? It's not even your business, but you're irritated. But when you have peace, I remember when I first received Jesus, I was so happy. I smiled for 3 days nonstop. I just smiled. I was just amazing. Anytime I was awake, I was just smiling. I was just so captivated by God's love, so captivated by what Jesus did for me. I was so captivated. It's like, wow. That's called our first love. That's what we need to get back to. That's what we need to maintain. When we do that, guess what? We're content with everything. We're going to be content with every relationship we have. We're going to be content with the circumstances God has allowed in our lives. Not because the circumstances are good, but because God is good in the circumstances. Because we have peace. And we don't have peace, we're going to always find somebody to blame because we don't have peace. But it's Jesus who's the Prince of Peace. In Psalm 103, verse 7, Psalm 103, verse 7, He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. See, Moses knew God's ways, but the children of Israel only saw His actions. See, the children of Israel saw His acts, but they didn't know His person. They didn't know His person. They didn't know God was a father to Israel, but they didn't recognize that. God was a father to Israel, but they didn't recognize that. So every time things didn't work out exactly the way they thought they should work out, they complained and murmured. We're going to starve to death. We're going to die of thirst. I mean, why are we here now? And we left those stakes back in Egypt and all that stuff. And it's because they didn't know His heart. By the way, they didn't get stakes in Egypt. But anyways, but the thing is, but the point is this, they didn't know God's heart. They saw the miracles, but they didn't know the heart of the one who's behind the miracles. They saw His acts, but no, Moses knew His ways. Moses spent time with Him, and he knew the heart of God. Isn't that wonderful? The Prince of Peace. And the last verse, Hebrews 4, 9 to 11. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall short according to the same example of disobedience. There's a wonderful opportunity for each one of us to grow in our relationship to know Jesus, the Prince of Peace. We need to grow to know Jesus in all the different ways. God is love and God's mercy and His grace. There's many, many ways. And we need to know them all. But there's something so important about knowing Him as a Prince of Peace. Let's just turn to the Lord and pray. Lord, I thank You so much, Father, that You are with us no matter what happens in this life, whether life or death. You're always with us. Thank You that You're faithful, Father. And thank You, Lord, that You put us together as the body of Christ. That we are brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, Lord. Oh, Lord, I thank You so much, Father, for Your peace. For the peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace of God that goes beyond rational circumstances because it's birthed in heaven. Thank You so much, Father. Thank You so much for Your goodness, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like to just have everybody's attention for a few minutes.